720 WGN, just pulling up the news of Carrie Fisher's death, dead at the age of 60 years old. Here we're in the Wintrust Business Lunch. We're going to focus, obviously, on business and such like that. But feel free to give us a call or a text at 312-981-7200, and we're going to get to some of those thoughts in the 1 o'clock hour a little bit more. Steve Bertrand is off today. John Hanson here filling in. And Roger, obviously, can chime in with any more news a little bit later on about Carrie Fisher's death. And we're going to have a lot of packed show. Interesting stuff, including a break dancer who is now a marketing guru, is the best way to put it. We're going to be chatting with Alyssa Constable in just a little bit. But first, as we start every Tuesday, we got John Najarian on from Najarian Family Services. John, thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be with you today. Thank you.
So last week we were talking about this wait for 20,000 on the Dow Jones. We could pretty much rinse and repeat the same conversation from last week to this week. I imagine it's just a kind of a holiday stall out that we see pretty consistent every year. Or is there something more going on here why we've kind of just leveled off?
Well, it's the stall out's pretty accurate, and I think it's several reasons, not the least of which could be the potential that we're going to see some tax changes to the tax system, that is, that would make individuals that have gains in their stocks put off the sale this year, because why pay the prevailing rate this year if you believe that the rates will be lower next year? So that could be contributing to, when we get up to a certain level, we just kind of pause, because instead of the usual turnover, you've just got people holding. Now, if we have impetus, like an upgrade or earnings or something like that, that could drive the market through a given level. But we really don't have that right now. And that's why we're seeing volumes are a little bit better already than last week, but we're still not seeing that drive higher yet. But I think we'll see it by the end of the week. I think today or tomorrow, it's likely that between Apple and Goldman Sachs, really any lift from either of those two basically takes us to that new high.
John, do you buy into the idea that maybe the Trump bump was simply an advance on next year's gains, and instead of getting it in reaction to maybe some of the policies, we got it here in 2016 and we won't see a big run or a big bull market continuing into 2017?
I actually think we will see the rally continuing. Obviously, some of what we've seen, I would say you're correct, is an anticipation of what, for instance, when we take a look at the S&P 500, we're estimating that anywhere from 7 to 9% appreciation should occur if indeed the corporate tax rate is taken in line with the rest of the world. So obviously, we haven't made all of that out of the market since the election, but you couple that with some of the rollbacks in regulation, as well as the United States being a place that will continue to attract money as a safe haven, given that we will be at that point the only major economy really not participating in the quantitative easing and so forth. In other words, degrading their own currency to try to boost up exports and so forth. I think that's going to be another reason. So you couple all three of those and perhaps an increase not just in consumer confidence, which we saw again today, consumer sentiment, but I think you could see businesses back to spending rather than just hoarding cash. All of that's pretty bullish for the market, I think.
I found it very interesting how much trepidation there was before the election about perhaps a Donald Trump presidency. In fact, futures, I remember the night of the election, were tanking. Are you as surprised about this Trump bump, or do the policies he's advocating for and wants to implement match what we've seen in the last month?
The policies he's advocating, I think, match it, but there's always the chance that some various rogue members of his own party, which he hasn't been a member of for very long.
Right.
I mean, most of us would say that Mr. Trump hasn't exactly been a staunch Republican throughout his career. And that makes sense because in New York City, just like Chicago, it doesn't really pay to be a Republican. You don't get things done that you need. So I think as long as he doesn't have some rogue faction go against him, that they are likely to see many of the policies that he's pushed for in the first 100 days enacted. And then the harder parts, the repeal and or replace of Obamacare, that's considerably tougher, I believe, than convincing a Republican Congress that they need to have these tax cuts put in place.
All right, even though that Steve isn't here today, he's promised me that you'll give me some stock tips as well. You're not going to ease off a little bit here. Still going to roll forward here. What do you got for us today, John?
Okay, today we were buying Incyte. It's a pharmaceutical company. They've got deals with Eli Lilly and others. The stock is just over $103 a share. The reason we're buying this one is there's a J.P. Morgan healthcare conference. The first 2 weeks in January, generally healthcare stocks see a little bit of a bump. And this one, a number of successful drugs that they market and sell, as well as that are in development. That's why we believe people have been aggressively buying it. We jumped in there and bought some today.
John Najarian of CNBC and Najarian Family Services, and you can follow him on Twitter at John Najarian. And John, that's a J-O-N. Again, we're John buddies without the H here today.
Love it, John. Thank you, sir.
Have a good one. Thank you so much. Okay, we're going to be chatting with Andrew Herman just after this about a really interesting, a popular gym that everyone loves and has talked about closing down in the Chicago area. We'll be talking about openings and closings with Dean Info in just a few seconds. .720 WGN. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. John Hansen in for Steve Bertrand. But Andrew Herman from DNA Info decided to still come on over today. Although we all thought it was Monday today, Andrew.
Happy Tuesday. And I just found out it was Tuesday about 15 minutes ago. Thanks, John.
Yeah,
thanks for the reminder.
I was texting your boss. Hey, where's Andrew? I haven't seen these stories yet.
Yeah. Well,
no, but that's great. Now it feels like Tuesday. Or now it feels like Monday. But
I was prepared for, I thought I was ahead of Tuesday, and actually I'm behind Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. So. All right, so openings and closings. Mm-hmm. We start with the closing of a kind of a popular gym in the River North neighborhood.
Yeah, these are David Barton gyms. They are part of a nationwide chain, the one locally here, 600 West Chicago, in River North. And it's kind of, as I was talking to you about, it has a apparently what's described as a clubby vibe to it.
Which I don't know what
that would be. Well, it kind of had like lower lighting, and it was a lot of exposed brick and all mm-hmm. those kind of things. And it had a slogan, look better naked, and now they abruptly have closed here in Chicago and in a few other cities, New York and Miami and Bellevue, Washington. And so now you have a bunch of people saying, hey, they owe me some money.
Right. And are they going to get it back?
Well, that is remains to be seen.
Because if there's anything worse than paying for a gym and not going to it ever and having that guilt, it's paying for it and not even having the option to go for it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, the experts say that, surprisingly enough, it's go first to your credit card companies.
Okay.
Because they apparently have more clout than you alone with a company that's in transition like this. But what they say is, first, if you have recurring charges, cancel those right away. That's
right
easy
away.
Enough. But then you can apply to your credit card company for the money that you lost, and maybe they might be able to get you a refund.
Mm, interesting. Okay, so David Barton, Jim, are all the locations closing? Or are they still open?
Most of them are closing. There's a few in cities outside of Chicago that are continuing to operate. In Los Angeles, they're continuing to operate. But here in New York and Miami, those are all closing.
Man, clubs used to be the thing, like the 90s or the 2000s. But I imagine with the resurgence of things like CrossFit, some of the more localized training options that don't involve weights and treadmills, I imagine it's a pressure on a lot of these places.
Right. I mean, that is the trend there. There's still a lot of people going to gyms. 54 million Americans say they go to gyms.
Right.
Maybe, I don't know, 4 million might actually go to them. But so a lot of people are still paying gym memberships. And the number of gyms or fitness centers have been going up by about 5% a year. But the new ones are often smaller and, focused on mm-hmm. a particular exercise. Or you're getting these big ones that are like 10 bucks
10 bucks,
a month.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's sort of both ends of the spectrum that are growing, and then the ones in the middle are trying to figure out how to stay on.
Andrew, do you go to a gym or say you go to a gym, or do you just abstain from the whole thing?
No. I walk to the train and the dog. That's about all I do.
All right. So we've been talking about the Mega Mall in Logan Square for years. What's going to happen to it? And it's going into a big development, obviously. And now we know who the grocery store is going to be.
Right. So this is a big old place on Milwaukee Avenue, 2500 North Milwaukee. The name makes it sound nicer than it was. It was there. Actually a giant sort of flea market in Logan Square. It had like a lot of like little storefronts inside there where you could buy clothes and cell phones and gym shoes, and it's been around a long time, dates back to even before the 1920s, but now they are going to tear it down. And people have been eagerly awaiting news as to what was going to go in there. And one of the things it looks like is going to be a jewel store.
The jewels.
The jewels is going in there, which is making a lot of people in Logan Square happy, because you can never have too many grocery stores. But it's a very big development, $100 million development. 113,000 square feet of retail. There's also going to be a fitness center there,
right?
But also a couple hundred residential units. And as the developer tries to sell the retail space, they're talking about the transition of Logan Square, and within close distance of the old mega mall, 1,500 apartments and 100 homes currently under construction.
Wow.
That's how fast it's growing over there. And it's a transition in the economic level of people, you know, the demographics. So Logan Square is getting wealthier. And so the developers of the new mega mall, it's called, they call it Logan's Crossing now, is selling the upscale aspect of Logan Square now.
I tell you, I love reading Mina Bloom's articles out of Logan Square mm-hmm. these days. I don't live in Logan Square, but I feel hipper after I read those stories.
Yeah.
I feel 5 years younger, 10 years younger.
Right. I mean, there's some fascinating stuff going on in some of the Chicago neighborhoods. We do hear a lot about violence in Chicago neighborhoods, but a lot of them are really taking off.
Yeah. Andrew Herman, where can people find out more information about this?
DNAinfo.com/Chicago.
I think you got Steve back next week. You'll be happy about
all
that.
All right, John.
Thanks for joining us. More Winter's Business Lunch right after this. 720 WGN. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. John Hanson filling in for Steve Bertrand and Roger Badish. Were you a big Star Wars fan?
Oh, huge.
You're huge.
I saw the original, which would have been Episode 4, when we lived out in Las Vegas, saw it in the theaters. So, yeah, I followed it all along, and I have not seen Rogue One yet. I do know that she will be in the next Star Wars.
Her have they already filmed it?
Yeah. Well, her scenes have already been shot. According to a report I read the other day after she had the heart attack on the plane, a couple of sites that I follow indicated that her scenes have already been recorded.
I think, she's one of those actresses where obviously she has a long list of things that she's been in, but you know, for Star Wars fans, I mean, she was the quintessential. She was Princess Leia. A lot of people grew up idolizing her, mm-hmm. a very strong female character too, in a time when that wasn't necessarily what you saw in the movies. For me, I'm not. I like the Star Wars films, mm-hmm. but I'm not hugely into them. I don't rush out to go see them on opening night. But the scene that the role that I remember Carrie Fisher for most is in Blues Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
And she played...
The jilted girlfriend.
Right. And she was so excellent. And then my parents used to play that over and over and over mm-hmm. again. So it's just interesting how celebrities enter all of our lives. For most people, the vast, vast majority, it'll be Star Wars. But for some people...
And that was another strong role.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she was packing a bazooka. Right. I mean, come on.
Doesn't get much stronger than that. Well, yeah. Roger, we're going to chat more about that in the 1 o'clock hour.
Okay.
And people, feel free to call in 312-981-7200. We'll get it to more in the 1 o'clock hour. Or you can call us on the text line, text us at 312-981-7200. Maybe your favorite roles besides Star Wars, or if you just loved Princess Leia that much. Okay, changing gears back to the Wintrust Business Lunch topics at hand. Lori Berry from UBS is joining me now on the line. And Lori, we're going to be talking about those things that you can do at the end of the year to, save you a little bit of money come tax time in April, right?
That's right, John.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. So are there a few, key things that, if you're sitting there and it's, now December 27th, we're kind of running out of time on some of this stuff, what would you advise people to do first and foremost?
Okay. Well, first, you have to have a team around you of advisors, because one of the things is if you're trying to save on taxes, you really need to consult your tax advisor. And that's one of the great things right now with a few business days left in the year, is you should really take a look at and examine what you've already done investment-wise. Do you have gains on your portfolio? Do you have losses? Have you actually exercised or realized some gains that you might want to offset by doing some things in the next few days to possibly offset those with losses if you have them within your portfolio. And that'll help you save on taxes going into April 15th.
I imagine that could be a really big goal for some people in 2017, just to kind of assemble that team, to get started on that, because that seems easy enough. But, you know, you got to talk to people you trust, and it's a big decision for people.
It is, absolutely. And a lot of times people are paralyzed by doing anything at the last minute here because they don't have that team assembled. So if you don't, that is something great to consider come January, which is get a head start on your finances and start, you know, getting advice and building a team around you.
Okay, so obviously people have the ability, I shouldn't say obviously because I just learned about this a couple of days ago when you came on the morning show that we have, but mm-hmm. the idea that if you are looking to put some investments aside, your IRA might be a great option for you to get a little tax deduction come 2017. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. So if you haven't done 2016 a contribution to an IRA, you actually have until you file your taxes or April 15th to do so. So you actually get a little bit more leeway to do an IRA contribution. And everyone can contribute $5,500 or $6,500 if you're over 50. You can do that catch up, the $6,500. You can do an IRA contribution. The question becomes, depending on how much money you earn, mm-hmm. if you have a 401k, whether or not that's deductible. But all contributions then grow tax deferred. So any future earnings on that investment, you delay paying on taxes until you take the money out. So that over time, that's a huge savings.
So even if you, it's not tax deductible, it's something that obviously you'd want to consider, not only for the added benefit, especially the younger you are, that's going to grow considerably. Yeah. And I believe that number where, you know, if whether you earn or you don't earn, I believe it's like 61,000 for your adjusted gross income, something around that range, whether you get the tax deduction or not. But obviously, Lori, that would be something to ask your financial advisor.
Exactly. And it depends if you're married filing jointly or individually filing. So there's, or if your spouse contributes or you contribute to a 401k plan through your employer. So there's kind of all these little caveats to it that you want to make sure whether or not it's deductible. Another great contribution is the Roth contribution.
Mm-hmm.
So similarly to the IRA, you have those same dollar limits. So it's either or. But the Roth grows tax-free. Not only today, but in the future when you pull the money out. So if you qualify based on your income to do a Roth contribution, that could be even more substantial savings in the future. Because when you pull those contributions out or distribute them when you're retired, they are completely tax-free.
For people that might have the ability to do so, giving gifts or setting up other things or funds for other people is a great way to save a little money too, right?
Exactly. If you can gift up to $14,000 or $28,000 for a couple in 2016 and not have it impact gift tax or impact your estate exemption, but also contributions if you're looking to gift for a child to a 529 plan to help them save for education, or if the child is teenage years and they have some side income or working a job, they also can set up a Roth IRA. And you can help give a little through, you know, giving money for their future by putting it in something like that. So you're thinking about gifts for next year's holiday season. This could be a great gift to help set up at the beginning of the year and help fund throughout the year as well.
Conveniently, the end of the year, also a time when people are thinking about charitable donations, and those can go a long way, not only to help the charities, but to help you feel good and also might help your pocketbook a little bit.
Yep. So that's another one, John, that you have to consider in the next few business days. Is whatever contributions you made this year to charitable organizations, and if you want to up that and continue to contribute, you have through the end of the year to be able to potentially deduct it on your tax return for 2016. But that also would have to be done in this calendar year. So I always consider, I tell people, take a look at maybe some donations you made for someone to do a run or a charity event that you went to. Make sure you're adding all those up to prepare for your taxes. And then if you want to give a little more, you have until the end of the year. And I also suggest if you work for a company that has matching contributions, you can really help the charity by accessing those matching, and it doesn't take any more funds out of your pocket, but gives the charity a little bit more money.
As you plan for 2017, maybe you're getting a cost of living increase, a raise, or maybe something a little bit more healthy, or even something just 1% or 2%. Is that the time of year maybe to tick up that automatic contribution another percent or two before the money even comes to you in a check form? Like, it's before you even get to see how much you make on your new salary, you send it away somewhere else.
You got it. I suggest looking at if you get that raise or just the 1% bump. So if you're currently saving in a 401k plan at, let's just say, 10%, and come January, everyone should try to bump that up a little bit, because typically it's a small amount in the paycheck, and it really makes a big difference long term. But especially if you get a raise, consider how much of that raise you want to put towards your retirement and bump up your contributions. It's automatic, you're paying yourself first, and most times people don't miss the money if it's a small percentage.
No, absolutely. That's like the best advice I ever got as a young person, was just to keep on ticking that up before, and you got to do it before you see that first check.
Yes.
So you're not making the adjustment on the fly. Okay, Lori Berry from UBS, thank you so much for joining us, and where can people find out more information about you and what your company does?
Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks, John.
Yeah, financialservicesinc.ubs.com. Lori Berry, thanks so much for your time. Okay, more Winter's Business Lunch coming up on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, it's the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm joined by Alyssa Constable, grew up in Gurnee and serving now as the marketing consultant for world-class nonprofits and media companies. Alyssa, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me today.
From international breakdancer to where you are now, walk us through that journey.
Yeah, so I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, and I actually would visit Chicago quite a bit. And I met a crew called Phase 2 Chicago, which is a legendary Chicago breakdance crew, and they taught me all the skills that I wanted to learn. And then we started traveling. We traveled to various countries, performing as well as around the nation, teaching workshops and performing for mayors and doing a lot of really great interesting work, for sure.
I imagine meeting all those people and seeing stories of people that are different from yourself I can see exactly how you now work for nonprofits, and great ones at that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's the similarities and the differences. You see them and you grow and you learn from them, and you realize that we are just all such amazing people, and wherever you can help and be able to serve is a blessing and a benefit to everyone. So
what's your everyday life like working as a marketing consultant for some of these great nonprofits? I imagine it's a lot of problem fixing and coming up with new ideas, a lot of creative stuff on the fly.
Yes, definitely. So currently I work for the Urban Land Institute, which is I work as in marketing in that role, and we do urban planning. So we were just in Pennsylvania, and we were working in a small city where there's some need for change. They're in an industrial city, and a lot of the businesses have left from the industrial industry, and it's like, how are you going to revamp and revitalize and refresh this community? What are you going to bring in there? What's the benefit of the land? How can we change that scope? How can we, you know, look at the city in 20 years from now? How can we start today, and what needs to be done today until tomorrow? And, you know, that ranges from community engagement, that ranges from doing communication strategies, brand marketing around the city, as well as working with the people, understanding the people and their goals and their beliefs and what works for them. Because in every single community, people are different.
I imagine it's difficult because there's only so much you can do as a marketing consultant. And I'm not trying to put that on you, but you're dealing with elected officials, religious leaders, all sorts, the whole community as a whole. And sometimes you're flying into these places that maybe you don't know as familiar as other people. How do you navigate that? Because I'm sure there's some ideas where you're like, this is a no-brainer, but for whatever reason, it doesn't get done. But you still got to make it work.
Oh, yeah. Well, I work with amazing respected, smart people. You never want to be the smartest person in the room, right?
Right.
And especially from a
no problem here. Especially right now, it's perfect. I'm in great shape.
Yeah. Thanks. amazing people who really problem solve from where they're at. So, mm-hmm. you know, they obviously they have this amazing knowledge, but it's really about applying it effectively to who you're working with, where you're working with, why, and how to get them to the next level. So every single city, every single place that I work is a new challenge, and it just keeps you on your toes and it keeps you refreshed.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. I can tell you seem joyous right now. You got a big old smile. So you're the founder of Emerge Next.
Yes.
Walk us through that. That's an education program, right?
Yeah, it's an experiential education program is how I like to call it. So it actually started as a program when I was graduating from high school, going into college. I grew up in the suburbs, and the college sponsored a program that I wanted to produce, which was really, really targeted towards music, radio, entertainment, and it has evolved into technology and engineering. It was sponsored by Columbia College, sponsored by College Lake County, Toyota. A lot of brands have helped to build this program, but it's really about connecting the dots, because sometimes you have this goal, but you don't know anyone, mm-hmm. or you don't even really understand the day-to-day. You don't know what courses you need to take in college. So this helps, you know, when you're listening from the professionals who are actually doing it, who are actually living it day-to-day, they can help you guide you and navigate that path. And I think it's super important, and not everyone has access to that. And it's not because of necessarily always economic. It could be because of just where you grew up. Like I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, where pharmaceuticals was a big deal when I was mm-hmm. growing up, and that's where they pushed all the young people to go to. But if you weren't into pharmaceuticals, you know, you might want to do something else. But it was really hard to connect those dots, but you need to make a living. And so I tried to do what I could to make that bridge, and I'm really grateful that I'm still able to do that.
You say educate, network, yep. and be unapologetically yourself.
Absolutely.
You got to be you, right?
That's right. I mean, you really have to be you. It's like this authentic, genuine, and it really touches people when you meet them, and they can tell and they can feel it, and it inspires other people to be themselves, I think. And I think when people can let down their walls when they're around you, just all this creativity and optimism opens up, and you can really come up with some really creative things to do, advance, and or just chill and just, right. you know, be yourself. And that's great as well.
Yeah, I imagine breaking down those barriers does a lot to just encouraging honest conversation.
That's right.
And also being very honest with your background and who you are and what you've learned and seen and how that can affect change.
Absolutely.
All right, Alyssa Constable, where can people find out more about Emerge Next?
Yes, they can go to www.emergenextchicago.com.
And thanks so much for joining the Winter's Business Lunch.
Yeah, thank you so much.
We're going to wrap things up next on 720 WGN.